I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Therefore, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It seems like a year ago that we talked about this. It just these last couple of Sunday nights, we've been off. But it was just a few Sunday nights ago that we talked about the helmet of salvation, about the power that God has given us, that the authority of God is represented by our willingness to submit to His authority in our life. That's what protects us. That's what protects our decisions. That's what protects our direction. When we say, okay, God, I am transferring authority to you. And He said, there's a reason for that. But tonight we're going to take a look at something else in this arsenal that God has given us. And we are going to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. A few weeks ago we talked about don't lose your head. Tonight we're going to talk about guarding your heart. One more passage before we are seated. Proverbs 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Turn to your neighbor, somebody sitting next to you, tell them, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. God is good. Can we just lift our hands again? Invite Him to have full access into our life. Lord God, speak through the power of your word. God, we need to hear from you. God, we need the power of what you have given us to become real in our lives. Lord, let the living word come forth. God, more than just words on a page, let us leave here with an understanding and a passion to put into action what you have given us and understand the power that you have placed in our hands. And we are trusting in your name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. As you're seated, tell somebody else, your heart's important. You need to guard it. And you may be seated. God is emotional. God is emotional. When we read in Scripture, we see God manifesting emotions. Throughout the Scripture, we see God laughing. We see God as a compassionate God. We see God manifesting grief. We see God manifesting love. We see God manifesting anger. We see God manifesting joy. It's a way that we can relate with God. That God is an emotional God. And God created us to be emotional people. Turn to somebody and tell them, you're emotional. You're emotional. That God made us not just to have life. I'm not just going to give you life and place you here, but I want you to enjoy it. I want you to experience it above and beyond just the factual realization of what we are and what we are experiencing. And so He put in us emotions. He put in us feelings. He gave us a heart. He gave us the ability to be in a situation and have it enhanced by what we feel. To be able to feel love. To be able to feel joy. To be able to feel all of those things that have become so real in our life. That God gave us those emotions. To enjoy the life that He has given us, but not to direct our life. We talked about that a few weeks ago, and the battle between our heart and our mind, the battle between what we know to be true and how we feel in the moment, that our emotions are important. God gave them to us for a reason, but they weren't given to us to guide us. They were given to us to enhance the experience that God places before us. It's intentional. They're wonderful things. We have the newlywed couple here. We don't. We've got a couple of newlywed couples here, and not newlywed, newly engaged. I'm jumping ahead. I'm speaking by faith tonight. But we have some couples in love. Hopefully we have a lot of couples in love, you know, more than that. And to be able to feel that, to be able to feel the emotion of that and the joy of that, to be able to see those. And we dedicated a beautiful new baby girl today, and to see the parents looking at her, and just there's something that overwhelms us. They are precious things. They are God-given things, but they are not to direct us. Because our heart, our feelings, our emotions are vulnerable. We can have our heart broken. We can have our emotions swayed by circumstances, by pressures, by battles, by situations that take us and allow our feelings to override what we know to be true, and our feelings can change our perspective. We can be hurt. We can be harmed. We can even be led to do the things that we know we shouldn't do from our heart because we feel that way. And we're drawn in that way. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, he said, look at this. For it is from within, out of a person's, what? Heart. That evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. The very heart and emotions that God gave us also have the ability to destroy us. And God says, I gave you these as an enhancement. I gave you these to be enjoyed. These are precious things. These are godly things. But yet, watch out. Because they can turn and harm. They can turn and destroy. And God would tell us, guard your heart. Guard that I gave you. It's precious. It's a good thing, but it can also turn if you're not careful. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs chapter 4 is the verse we just read. He says, keep your heart or guard your heart with all diligence. Let me just stop here. What the words are here, if we look back at the original text, he says that to use the word, it's called natsar. Can we say that? Natsar. You clear your throat when you say it correctly. It's natsar. It means to guard. It means to stand guard. But it is used with what is interpreted here as diligence with this word tausia. And that's a fun one to say, because if you didn't clear your throat the first time, you can do it now. Let's say it together. Tausia. Yes. And it means with military importance. And he's saying this. Guard your heart as if you were guarding nuclear weapons. Guard your heart as if you were guarding the most intelligent military secret available. That you had all of the things that could destroy the world, and it's up to you to guard them. He says, guard your heart with that intensity. Guard it with that amount of energy. Guard it with that amount of importance, because, and the word that he uses there, that out of it springs life, and it means to, that's how you express life. Guard it, because that's how you express what I've given you. Guard it, because that's how you express what is going on around you. And we see this tie-in, that if I allow my heart to be unguarded, it opens me up to express a life and a behavior that isn't from God. And that's why in this verse he's saying, from your heart can come all of these things. Because you can get to a point with an unguarded heart that the expression of your heart is something that isn't God-centered, that it is of a captured heart, that it is of a wounded heart, that it is of a heart that has been taken over, and you will begin to express a life that God never intended for you to express. So guard it. Guard it. Guard your heart. Guard it with all that you have. It's important. It's important. And so, God in his wisdom, in his passion said, I gave you these emotions. I gave you these feelings. I gave you this heart. And I know it's vulnerable. And I'm not going to leave you undefended. I am going to give you something that will guard the very thing that I gave you. I'm thankful for a God that just covers all the bases. I'm thankful for a God that doesn't leave us stranded, that doesn't leave us high and dry. He says, I'm going to give you a blessing, but I'm also going to give you the armor to protect that blessing. I'm going to give you a wonderful life, but I'm also going to give you the strength to maintain that life. That God says, I am giving you a heart. I am giving you these wonderful emotions that can be so precious and yet so dangerous. And so I'm giving you armor to protect it. But as we look at the armor that God gives, it's a strange piece of armor. Because to guard our heart might be very different than what God's word says. Our assumption of how we guard our heart may be drastically different than what God says actually protects our heart. You see, all of these things can come forward. We think of all the vulnerabilities of our heart. We think of all the potential. We read the whole list of the things that come from our heart, the sin, the depravity, those feelings, those things that can lead us astray. And we say, I don't want to go there. And so therefore, I'm going to do what it takes to guard my heart. And we begin to do good things, but not the right thing to guard our heart. There are people that would say, well, I'll tell you what, this is the way I guard my heart. I don't want to sin. I don't want my heart to be vulnerable. So therefore, I'm just going to allow God to just keep filling me with the Holy Ghost. I'm just going to come to the altar and I'm going to be refilled every chance I have. That is a wonderful thing. But that's not what God gave you to guard your heart. Because you and I both know people that can come down here and be refilled service after service after service and go back and have struggle after struggle after struggle after struggle from a heart that is left unprotected. And yet they come and say, well, I'm being refilled with the Holy Ghost. That is wonderful. That is part of the armor that God gave you, but you're missing a piece. Say, well, I'm going to worship. I'm going to sing, put in a CD or plug in your phone or whatever you use to listen to music to nowadays. And I'm just going to worship because when I sing, I feel God's presence. And that is just going to take me over. And then the things that I'm tempted with, it's just going to take me over when I worship. Or I'm not going to allow my heart to be captured. I'm just going to worship, worship, worship. Worship is important. Worship is needed. Worship, yes, but it's not what God gave you to guard your heart. You're still missing something. There is something more. He has given you a full armament to protect yourself. And we need to get it right. We would have those that say, well, just believe God's able. Struggling with something, just believe God. Come on, just believe. Just believe. Just have faith in God. Is faith important? Absolutely. We're going to talk about faith. But it wasn't and isn't intended to guard your heart. Now, please understand, I am not lessening any of these. We need to be praying through every chance we get. We need to live a life of worship. We need to have faith, but we need to put on the whole armor that he said. Don't be missing a piece, because many struggle with sin in their life. Many struggle with those feelings that I can't make it, that my heart is being wounded. My heart is being taken. My heart is being broke. My heart has turned on me, and yet we're coming to an altar. And God's filling us. We're going back and we're worshiping. And yet, we're struggling with a vulnerable heart. So we look at the scripture and he says, I'm giving you the breastplate, the armament to cover your heart. And it is the breastplate of righteousness. It's an odd pairing. It's an odd pairing. Because righteousness is simply doing what God says is right. Amen. It is doing, not just knowing, what God says is right. It is living the way God recommends. Amen. Righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25 says this, "And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness." It is my obedience to what God tells me. It is my obedience to what God's word says. It is my obedience not to what you say, but what he says. It's my obedience not to what this world says, but what his word says. It is simply doing what God says is right. And when I do this, look at the results. Psalms 119:40, David's writing, "How I long for your precept," or your law, or your commands. "In your righteousness, preserve my life." Proverbs 11, "The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires." Proverbs 13 says, "Righteousness guards the person of integrity." I love this. "But wickedness overthrows the sinner." He's saying a life that lives according to what God says is right. A life and a person that says, "God, I'm going to do what you say." There is a guarding. There is a protection. There is an armor covering the heart. And those that choose not to, overthrown. Overthrown. In Philippians chapter 4, he writes this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding," look at the association here, "the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, we know this passage. This is a passage that's familiar if you study your Bible at all. But it's associated with this next verse. The two go hand in hand. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." Live according to these things. Walk according to these things. "For whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice." And what's this last phrase? Look at this. "And the peace of God will be with you." What did the peace of God do in the previous verse? It guarded your heart. How do we get God's peace? By living according to those things that are true, under those things that are right, under those things that are pure, under those things that are praiseworthy, those ways that God says, this is the way to walk, this is the way to live, this is the way to conduct your life. And what happens? God's peace comes when I do those things, and it guards my heart. Living a life according to what God says is right. You want to stop struggling with sin in your life? You want to stop having a heart that is broken again and again and again? You want to have a heart that is able to stand and able to be protected? A life and a spiritual life that is guarded? Your heart is important. How many know that? If I were to tell somebody that, yeah, somebody got shot in the heart, that would be a serious thing. Your heart is important to your survival. A heart is a high vulnerability point in a life. And there is a reason behind. God, who made your body, understands that, and we see a harmony in this, and that is why he says, look, guard it. Guard it. live according to what is right. And we see in God's word the direction that God would tell us to live. That God says, this is the way you should talk. This is how you should conduct your time. This is how you should conduct your finances. This is what you should do in your marriage. This is how you need to gauge what you put into your life for entertainment or for other things. This is how you should treat others. This is how you should conduct yourself. This is how you should present yourself. This is how you should work. This is where you should go. Again and again and again, we see God's direction in his word of a life that we should live. And when I do life God's way, there is a protection that follows. Now, I want to go a little deeper here, because we look at God's word and we look at our life. We look at God's way and we look at what we want. And oftentimes there's a difference. There's a disparity. There is what God's word says, and there is the way that what I would like to do. And here is some meat to chew on. That there are things in God's word and according to what God says in a way, in a manner that we should live, that are not heaven and hell issues. There are things in God's word that he says, this is how you should live, and if you break them, you can still go to heaven. And I want to speak tonight, because there are those that when we look at a life of righteousness, when we look at a life of obedience to God, there is something in us that we look at things and we say, well, that's not a heaven or hell issue. I don't have to do that. Well, that's not a heaven or hell issue. And I've heard it and I've used it. It's not a heaven or hell issue. You're right. It's a heart issue. It's a protection issue. Understand this. Look at this. Okay. The Bible's clear. He says, you know what? Don't go into debt. Do you believe that you can go to heaven with a credit card balance? Yes. Yes. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Right? I'm just using this as an example. Please understand what I'm saying. That's not license to go out and like, woo, we can go buy whatever we want because we can still go to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about here. But the principle that God says, hey, this is the way that you should live, is don't go into debt. Why? Because when I break God's plan, it makes my heart vulnerable. Then when I begin to live a life where I am indebted and I'm getting the phone calls and it just seems like I can't get out, there is a pressure, there is that feeling of bondage, there is begins to work in me and I begin to be a different person as a result of what I'm feeling. My heart is unguarded. And I have seen people lose their relationship with God when it started that their spending was so out of control that their life began to break down. Their marriage began to break down. Their hope began to break down. And what wasn't a heaven or hell issue left a vulnerable heart that the enemy of your soul can say, aha, I see it, I'm going for it. God says, protect it. Guard your heart. Live what I'm telling you. Okay. How many know you can miss church and still go to heaven? Absolutely. You don't need 100%. God does not meet you at the pearly gates with saying, well, 97%. I'm sorry. You should have had 100%. But here's the thing. God says, you know what? You need to gather together. You need to. That's the way you ought to live. Don't just come when you feel like it. Don't just come when it's convenient, but come and serve and be a part. Why? Because it guards your heart. And you've seen it. You may have experienced it. You miss a service, and then you miss another service, and then you miss another service, and what happens? Something begins to happen. Something begins to change in your outlook. Something begins to rattle you, or you begin to be drawn away into an area that you've never been drawn away. And what's going on? You've got a vulnerable heart. You've left your heart uncovered. Is it, well, you need to be here? No. But should you be? Yeah. Why? Because it's protection. It's guarding. God gave you this for a reason. He says, oh, I blessed you with this wonderful thing of emotions and feelings and all of these wonderful things, but you need to guard it. Do what I say, because I'm telling you, that's the way it works. It doesn't matter where we go, well, it's a heaven or hell issue. No, it's a heart issue. It's a breastplate issue. It's a protection. Oh, we can't just try to justify it. We can't just come and go through the motions, but we need to have our armor on. The breastplate is an uncomfortable piece of armor to wear. It's cumbersome. It's heavy. It's burdensome. It limits movement because of what it's doing. Romans chapter 6, all through that chapter, talks about becoming a slave to righteousness. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, that no discipline seems pleasant at the time. I don't think anybody here has ever said, Lord, just discipline me more. Just pour it on. No, we don't like it at the time. It's restrictive. It's hard. It's cumbersome. It's heavy. He says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, it produces what? A harvest of righteousness and peace. And again, what is peace doing? Peace is God's way of protecting our hearts. We see it again and again through Scripture. It's that discipline. It's that I don't wanna, but I'm gonna. I don't feel like it, but I'm gonna. This is difficult, but I'm gonna. It's limiting me, but it's gonna. And it's painful in the moment. But what is it doing? It's protecting my heart. It's protecting my soul. It's protecting my spirit. Spiritual life in the presence of God. It says it gives righteousness and peace for those who have been, I love this, trained by it. It's something we learn. It's something we see. It's something we can look back on. Matthew 5, Jesus is talking. He says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. It's difficult. It's heavy. But he says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He says, you need to understand. He says, I'm not giving you these rules to make your life miserable. The purpose of my plan in your life isn't to just see how I can restrict you and lock you down and put my thumb on you. No, you need to see. It may be uncomfortable, but it's protecting your heart. It's protecting your soul. It's protecting your life. That I've given you armor for a reason. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. In the time that this was written, that the Roman army often carried with it the symbol of who they were fighting for on their breastplate. That when we live a life of righteousness, when we live a life in obedience to the way that God lives and leads us, it is an identifying mark of who we are. I love it when I hear stories of people, and I just was hearing some today, or a case where it's like, oh, well, we're gonna watch the movie, but oh, this isn't a movie that you would want to watch. What's it doing? He says, oh, wait a second. You've decided to live a life that guards your heart, to guard your emotions, to guard your thought, and it's an identification that you serve somebody higher than yourself. There's an armor on you that people see. When people say, oh, wait a second, I was going to tell this joke, but you're around. I'm not going to tell it because I know how you feel about those things. It is not something to be ashamed of. It's something that says, wait, this is part of my armor. This is part of what God has given me. It's identifying me, and I'm wearing it for my protection. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. The breastplate is a defensive piece of armor. It is there to defend you. It is not a weapon to be used by you. When my righteousness becomes something that I remove to use as a weapon against someone else, I have made my own heart vulnerable by removing what was supposed to protect me. When I begin to use my righteousness my obedience and how I conduct my life as something to beat you over the head with or to gauge you. I have removed it and missed the purpose of what it was. Jesus said, be careful not to practice what? Your righteousness in front of others, to be seen by them. And if you do, you will have no reward. And again, what we have used this to be is often we say, well, it's our reward in heaven. It's our answered prayer. But we need to understand what he's talking about here. He is talking about righteousness. What is the reward of righteousness? It is the protection of your heart. When I begin to speak in pride about how I'm living my life and how I'm doing all the right things, and I begin to allow my life to just be that I'm shoving it out in front of you, and you should be like me, and you should act like me, and you should do what I'm doing. You know what he says? He says, you've lost your protection. And I think all of us here, unfortunately, can think of those that used righteousness as a weapon only to see their own lives succumb to what they proclaimed to have. Why? They removed their armor. They removed what was to defend them to use it as a weapon. We can't remove it. It's for our defense. It must be worn. It's part of the whole armor of God. It cannot be compensated for by other armor. We can't say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be really good with the sword of God's word and leave my heart unprotected. Can't say, well, I'm going to have all kinds of faith and leave my heart unprotected. It's necessary because we have seen and you have seen and you know what I'm talking about. There are those that would stand and even do what I do, that would get up and would preach and be able to wield God's sword, to be able to speak with such eloquence or have such faith, and yet live a life where they're not following God's will, only to see that life take a shot to the heart and to see their spiritual life crash and fall away from God. Well, how is that? He was such a good preacher. Unguarded heart. Well, they had such faith. I mean, they could pray and it was amazing. Unguarded heart. Well, they had this other gift and it just seems like they were doing it all right. Unguarded heart. We need the breastplate of righteousness. We need to live a life that says, God, if you say it, I'm going to do it. If it's what your will is, that's what I'm going to follow, because that's what protects my heart. You know this to be true. Those of you that have lived a life where you've separated yourself from this world in its draw, and you look back and you say, I am so glad. And why do we live that way? Not because you're going to go to hell if you don't. Those of you that live this way, you understand what I'm talking about. But because we say, it protects me. It guards me. It's there when I need it. Those things that would try to destroy me, because I've placed distance between me and it, there is a godly protection that comes when I say, okay, God, I will live according to the way that you want me to live. I will do life the way that you've asked me to. I won't use this as something to brag about. This is personal, and it is protecting my heart. The breastplate of righteousness God's given to you. And you look at your life, and if you are struggling with things in your life, if you're struggling with things to get over, check, have you let this down? God says you need to put on the whole armor of God. Let me just go a little bit deeper here. Because he's writing this, and he's... When Paul was writing this, the Roman army at this time was responsible for providing their own armor. It was something that they were required to have the funds and to be able to purchase, to be able to acquire, and be able to arm themselves. And he's pulling this into place and saying, look, you need this, and it is something that you are responsible for. It is something that only you can do. You can't go and live on somebody else's armor. It's like David with Saul. He says, I can't wear this. I haven't proved it. It doesn't fit. But I want us to look at this, and there is an attitude that can creep into a church that can be so damaging. And we can miss it, but when we understand it, it brings balance to what the scripture is talking about. That all of us are different. And I don't mean just you're different. I mean that you are different than the person sitting next to you. Just look at them. Look at them. They're different, aren't they? They're different than you. You may have the same number of eyes and ears and lips and fingers, but they are drastically different. Their struggles are not your struggles. Their battles are not your battles. Their temptations are not your temptations. We are all different. Tate, come up here. I'm going to use him. He's not in trouble. I told him this before. If Tate has a winter coat to keep him warm, his winter coat will not fit his big, strong, burly dad. Covers him. I have more surface area to cover. I need more protection from the elements. Your armor is personal. It is God-given. But there are things and vulnerabilities that you have that need above and beyond coverage. Not because it's a heaven or hell issue, but it's a protection issue. What covers him may not cover me. That I need God's word to cover my weakness, my vulnerabilities. And so we have people, thank you, appreciate it. Someday you will be as big, maybe larger than I am. Understand what I'm saying here, because this is deep and this is something to chew on. That there are people that take God's word and take it further for themselves. And do it because they understand the reason why. Mm-hmm. I need protection. And I know that that may work for you, and applying God's principle that way may work for you. But see, I don't want to leave myself vulnerable, and so therefore I am living my life this way. Not because it's a heaven or hell issue. Not because I'm going to use it to judge you. But because I need protection. I have friends that will not have a cell phone for spiritual reasons. We can look at them and say, oh, you legalistic, crazy, strict individual. But here's the beauty of this. They're not telling me that I can't have my little iPhone. But see, what you don't know about them is they struggle with an addiction. That they said, I need to separate myself for protection. Because I realize that if I open that up, what is okay for you and fits for you. You see, I've got some more area here that I need to cover. And the appropriate response, Paul is telling us, isn't to sit and to judge their actions, but is simply to celebrate the reason behind it and say, oh, I understand that it is a protection issue. And when I'm around you, I'm going to honor that with you. I'm not going to belittle that in you. I'm not going to make you feel bad in that, but I'm going to celebrate it and come alongside you as a Christian brother, Christian sister that says, hey, we are fighting together and I can't have you wounded because one of these days I'm going to need you standing beside me. I'm going to need your strength. So you do what you need to do to guard your heart. I'm going to do what I need to do to guard my heart according to God's word alone. I know people that don't have internet in their home. Oh, what, you're just so super spiritual. No, it's a heart issue. I'm not judging you. I'm not telling you that that's what you need to do. But understand what it is all about. It is part of the armor that God has given us. And as a church, as a body of believers, we need to get this right. That if we do it right, it works in such beautiful harmony that I am protecting what God has given me according to God's word, and how I apply it is based upon my weaknesses, my vulnerabilities, not my strengths. I know people that won't go into a restaurant where they serve alcohol. You're like, what is wrong with them? Was some super spiritual. No, you don't understand that God delivered them from that. And they say, that's a weakness. I know I'm vulnerable, but God has given me armor. And if I will live my life, not just recognize in my mind, not just agree with in service, but when it comes time for me to make a decision, when it comes time for me to make an action, that my actions are based upon God's way, God's word, His protection for my life, I'm going to make it. We come in and we say, that's beautiful. God bless you. All right, let's go to another restaurant. Let's go someplace together, not to down, but to build up, to edify. It's not a weapon, it's defense. And when we choose to live our life that way, it is in beautiful harmony. And we get it right. We get it right. So let me ask you tonight, what's your armor look like? One in your life, can you point to and say, this is what we do and this is what we don't do? This is the choices that we make. These are the choices that we don't make. It's not a heaven or hell issue. It's a heart issue. It's according to God's word. What does your armor look like? Is your armor comfortable? Let me just say, if living for God is really easy for you, that should raise a red flag. Either you are dead, or you are missing something, because I know this, is that God's word challenges us and it goes against my nature. And it forces me to begin to trust in a God that is able to save me for eternity. Then surely He can get me through a Monday. Where are there things in your life that you wish you could do, but you don't, because God says this is a better way? Where have we given in and said, well, it's not that big of a deal, and made ourselves vulnerable? Have you taken and allowed your righteousness to be your weapon, that you've trumped what you've done and how you've lived and all that you've accomplished, and try to belittle someone else or measure someone else's spirituality based upon where you are at? You've taken your armor off. Your heart's vulnerable. You need to put it back on and to say, okay, God, I live this way not for anyone else, but for you. But for you. Do you have your armor on? Because I know this, there is an enemy that has a target on your heart. There is an enemy that is targeting your heart, and any opportunity he has, he wants to destroy you, to take you out. But God says, put on the whole armor. And after you do all that you do, to stand. To stand. To stand. Because there will be shots at your heart. There will be opportunities that could take you out. But it is God's protection that allows us to stand. One last passage in Isaiah. I love this. I love this so much, this beautiful verse. Isaiah 32, 17. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Remember what peace does? It guards our hearts. The fruit of you living the way that God says to live will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. When I live according to God's plan for my life, all of the lies that Satan would try to tell me are silenced. All of the things that Satan would try to pull my heart away are silenced, and it is replaced with a confidence that I can march into any battle. I can face any temptation. I can face any trial, any circumstance, anything that would come against me, because I have placed on me the armor that God has given me. I have my helmet of salvation, where daily I go and I transfer authority to Him. I have my breastplate of righteousness, which protects my heart, where I live the way that God tells me to live. And what beautiful peace and protection follows a life that is protected according to God's word. So you know what? You come to an altar and you let God refill you. You do that. Amen. You worship God with every bit of energy that you have. Absolutely. You have faith and believe that God is able, and you encourage and you do all of that. Absolutely. But don't leave your heart uncovered. Amen. You begin to say, okay, God, what's your way telling me? What's your way telling me? Because there is a protection of a heart. Thankful for the power of God's word. Thankful for the power of God's word. Can we stand?